Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
If you're resident, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrell right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make you do what I do,
man. Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Rowe Show.
Don't try to call me out, Princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
Why, you beady-eyed.
The upper room.
It's the J. Rowe Show coming up next on the TJRS.
No, Jay. We've got this. Come on, ladies. Let's show them what we're working with.
I think that I'm in love.
Hi, this is your fitness diva, Mom to Little Donna's, with your healthy lifestyle fitness tip for this week. Do you ever feel like you're going great with a diet, completely in control and on track, when you get hit by an uncontrollable craving for something that is on the so-called ban list? You do everything you can to control it, but somehow it still finds you, and eventually you give in. You say to yourself, well, I'll just have one bite. But come on, let's be real. Who can have just one chip or one piece of chocolate? Before you know it, you've either eaten the whole bag or the whole bar of chocolate. You see, a few extra calories turn into so many extra calories. And then that little cheat that you had soon becomes an all-out buffet with all kinds of food that you should not be eating. Food cravings can do some serious damage to your progress. So, let's give you some tips on how you can kill those food cravings. Number one, first of all, you have to smash the urge. If you continually resist the urge to give in to your cravings, you can end up binging all the time. Instead of trying to resist those cravings, try this. When you have the urge for something sweet, instead of grabbing a piece of chocolate, get some yogurt. Number two, purge your cupboard. Having bad food anywhere near you will only make things worse and make those cravings hit more often. So even before you start a diet, get rid of all the temptations by purging your cupboard. Number three, chew gum. Yes, you heard me. Chew gum. In between meals or when cravings begin to hit, just grab a stick of gum. Research has shown that people who chew gum between meals eat fewer snacks because you always have something in your mouth. Number four, eat regularly. If you're not eating at regular intervals during the day, then your cravings are going to come more often. The more you eat, the less cravings you will get. And finally, number five, go to the gym. Yeah, I know that's not the answer you wanted to hear, but check this out. When you're exercising, you are actually releasing endorphins that will counteract those feelings of hunger. So when you get those cravings, go for a walk, get some cardio in, and before you know it, you won't have those cravings anymore. So the next time you get the urge to pick up a cupcake or a donut or whatever it might be, remember these five easy tips to kill those cravings. And remember, sweat is fat crying. It's that time, everyone. Time to shake things up with the ladies of Ladies First Radio of the TJRS Radio Network, a life show for everyone. Is your resident, Map of the South, Mom to Little Donna's, hanging with my two girls, Dr. Princess Odelia and Rich Sister. Everyone's heard the headlines of the New Jersey teen suing her parents for financial support. We want to know, are we raising a society of ungrateful brats? We have our fitness and health tip and our inspirational corner as well. So, let's do this.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies. And I'm not proud of my address. In the torn up town, no postcode envy.
But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose, dripping in the bathroom, bloodstained ball gown, stretching the hotel room. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair.
And we'll never be royal.
Royal.
It's the one in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Ruler. We count our dollars on the train to the party, and everyone who knows us knows
that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money.
But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose, dripping in the bathroom, bloodstained ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair.
And we'll never be royal.
Royal.
It's the one in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Ruler.
Welcome to Ladies First Radio on the TJRS Radio Network.
Hello, folks, and welcome to Ladies First Radio on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. The call-in number is 347-850-1272. We're experiencing some technical difficulties with our host provider. We'll get the show on for you as soon as we can. Once again, hang out, 347-850-1272. It is Ladies First Radio on the TGRS Radio Network. We're going to try to get you on. Hold on for a second. Three four seven eight five oh 1272 is the caller number. You're listening to Ladies First Radio on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. It's Ladies First Radio. We're experiencing some technical difficulties. We're trying to get you locked into your show. If you can just be patient with us, we're working on all devices that we have available right now, trying to get the show back on. But it's a great show for you. And if you didn't hear the lead-in, it was all about the young lady, the young girl who sued her parents. Think about that now. Someone suing their parents. And so they're going to talk about that tonight. So as soon as we can get the show up, I'm pretty sure you're going to enjoy it. Once again, we're trying everything we can to get the show in. Stay tuned, and we'll be on the air shortly. 347-850-1272 is our calling number, 347-850-1272. You're listening to the Ladies First Radio radio show with Matula Donis, Dr. Princess Aldea, and Rich Sister. We're trying to get the show on the air. We're having some issues with our host website at this point, trying to get logged in. I'm using every device that I have at my disposal to try to get the show on. But stay tuned. It's a great show as soon as we can get it on. And because we're having these technical difficulties, we're going to definitely try to get the show extended because I want you to get the full 60 minutes of Ladies First Radio. If you're just tuning in, I'm Jay Ryle, the host of the Jay Ryle Show and the serious side of the Jay Ryle Show. And once again, we're trying to get logged in here. We're having some issues with our host server. For those who may not know, we originate out of off Block Talk Radio, and so we're trying to get everything up. But as soon as we can get it up, folks, I promise you it's going to be a great show. The young girl who divorced her parents, the lady's going to talk about that tonight. So stay tuned. We're going to continue to do it. I know you don't want to hear my mouth during Ladies First Radio because you'll get enough of me tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central on the Jay Ryle Show. So once again, we're trying to get the show up and running. I want you guys to stay loose. We're going to try to get in contact with Mr. Elias as well and see can he lock in. But right now, we're trying to get it going, folks. So stay tuned, and we'll be on the air shortly. Looks like we are making some headway here. Looks like we have Dr. Princess Aldea in. We have Rich Sister in. And now it looks like we have the host of the show in, Matu Ladonis. Matu, looks like we're live. So go ahead and take it. We're going to try to extend the show, okay?
You know what? I'm just saying. I think that we ought to have a discussion about firing you from our show. This is
just okay. He's got the show up and running, so let's just go on with it. How are you doing?
We're supposed to be on my
How y'all
side.
Doing?
Hello. What is this? I am doing this for the sake of the Ladies First Radio.
Whoever's going to run the show for us.
Okay.
Hey, Princess, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Free Jay Brown. Free Jay Brown.
How are you doing, Dr. Princess Aldea?
I am doing just well. Thank you very much. Fooling around here with Jay Real. I tell you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, anyways, we
Matu,
are live.
Matu, since we started late, go ahead. We're going to skip this break. Just talk all the way through, and hopefully we'll make up time there, okay? We'll skip that first break.
All right.
Thank
you. No problem.
Look at him like he's working so hard. Oh,
he did get it up and running for us now.
are you forgetting about the power of the mute button? I'd be careful.
So we're not on the Jay Rouse show. We are on the Lady First radio show, and we own it. Can you hear it? What she said in the beginning? No, Jay. Right? Right in this place in the beginning of the show. I'm not worried about it. You can be over here. You see where
oh
it's going.
She is spicy tonight. What have you been drinking? You are feisty tonight.
I don't want to answer. But go ahead. Okay.
Okay. Well, welcome everyone to Ladies First Radio. Sorry about, you know, all the technical difficulties we were having, but we are live. 347-850-1272 is our calling number. That's 347-850-1272. If you'd like to call in and speak to me, Mom to Little Donna's, your sister, Dr. Prince Odilia, tonight we are going to talk about, and yes, I'm going to call her out. She's a brat. We're going to talk about the brat that she wanted to sue her parents because she felt she was entitled to more financial support, okay? The lawsuit was dropped because she knew she didn't have a leg to stand on. But I'm asking the question, are we really raising a society of brats? Rich sister, what do you think?
Just bottom line, I mean, it sure looks like it because you think about, let's just say a 13-year-old. 13-year-old nowadays have so much access to more than we could have ever thought of.
Uh-huh.
Number one, with technology, right? The computers, the laptops, the tablets, the phones. And so they got the world in their hands, so they think they know everything.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they got access and exposed to so much more than we ever was.
Mm-hmm.
So they more so don't understand. And then, as I mentioned on this show before, parents are getting younger and younger. You look at some parents and children interacting. You have to figure out, okay, who's the parent and who's the child,
right?
If they acting just as silly. See, when you got children, you know, that's why they're more than apt to hand their kids the toys as babysitters.
Right. Mhm.
So,
Dr. Prince, yeah. what were you going to say?
Well, I think we should be youthful. We should remain youthful as long as possible. And I was going to make a joke about it. I said, because I'm the one that's the life of the party with my laughing and got, you know, around here. So I don't know. I just, hey, remain youthful, but I understand what you're saying. I was going to make a joke, but this is not the time for the joke. But exactly what you're saying, the parents are getting younger in age, as you say. And unfortunately, the span between generations and situations of grandmothers, the generations of younger children, the gap is really small now. So you've got young people having young people, and then their grandmother's young because the cycle continues and there's no healing. So you've got generations now of grandmothers and parents alike who lack wisdom in child development, and you don't have to go to school. But I believe that it's more and more we've become a society that have been in a great attempt and a success of finding what we think is happiness or what we think is fulfillment in our external involvement through education, through religion, through
mm-hmm.
social statuses and things of that like. So we've just had, there now are generations of just ignorance.
Right.
Ignorance. So it's sad, but it's very, very, very true.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we have. We have, I mean, people just don't know. My
right.
mom had me when she was, well, my mom was pregnant with me when she was 16, and she had me when she was 17.
Wow.
And she didn't know what she was doing at all.
Mm-hmm.
But she did a darn good job. But she didn't know her. She did a good job. She had some help. She did a good job, but there were a lot of things lacking in some areas. It wasn't so much of a balance. Okay, so, but, you know, she did as best she could. So we appreciate all of that, absolutely. So that's the issue. That's the issue.
And when listening to you and Rich Sister talk about how we're getting younger and younger as far as, you know, pretty much babies having babies, it makes me think of there's this show that comes on MTV. I think it's called Teen Moms or something. I've never watched the show. I've just only seen the previews of it. But
I have
in that, in that show, from the previews that I see, it's almost like they're glorifying these young girls having babies while they're still in high school. And I guess they're supposed to be following their lives or something. I don't know. Teen Mom, I don't know what the whole thing about it. But it's just crazy to me. And when I heard this story about this young girl, the backstory of it, where she's 18 years old, she left the home, and I guess she and her parents had a verbal agreement that as long as she did what she was supposed to do and show how responsible she was, they would continue to pay for her tuition. Well, when she turned 18, she decided to leave home. So after she left home, her parents said, hey, decided you wanted to leave. We don't have to pay for your tuition anymore, so she's going to sue them. Of course, you know, the judge throws it out of court, and I'm thinking to myself, what a brat. And I really commend the parents for not giving in to her, because it's so easy. I see so many parents today. They are trying to be their kid's best friend instead of actually parenting them. And they give in so easily. Just let the child throw a tantrum, and they're like, okay, just whatever you want, because they want to be their best friend. And I
but
told
you know
someone.
What?
I want it.
I really have so much to say, but you go ahead, Richard.
Now, I just want to read the comment, and I want to welcome VK Hens 1, a.k.a. Vanessa, into the chat room. I want to read her comment. She said, I just wonder why the attorney took the case they called a frivolous lawsuit.
I don't know why he took the case. I think he actually thought that he had a case.
Well,
really?
Yeah.
I don't know. What were you going to say, Dr. Prince Odelia?
First, a couple of things. First of all, they probably thought because it's like, okay, so they stopped paying for her tuition when that was a financial arrangement that they had. And then after she stopped paying just because she moved out, but that if that wasn't a term in the agreement, and who's to say, I don't know if they had an agreement written. Usually
right.
When parents say they're just going to pay for the school, they just say they're going to pay for the school. They usually don't draw contracts that I know of, you know. You'll see more that I'm just going to pay for your school, and that's that. Maybe in this scenario, who knows, you know, the probability that there was a contract drawn, and in that process, which I would have hoped that he would have done his due diligence prior to going into court with this. But anyway, I think this person was not necessarily a spoiled brat so much as it was the fact that they went against an agreement. And honestly, in court, verbal agreements matter. Something that you said to somebody, and there was actually some initiation to as a way of actually complying with what had been verbally agreed, you are as in stone. That's the same responsibility with a good attorney. That's the same responsibility as it is if you had written you a contract. Verbal upon acceptance is a legal, it's binding. So in some case, I don't know if it's necessarily, like I said, is she just, you know, she's a spoiled brat so much as, you know, dude, you say you're going to pay for my school because I move out. You say you're not going
to
do it.
No, I'm sorry. Dr. Prince O'Day, I'm going to have to disagree with you a little bit right there. If I had went to either my mom or dad, I'm going to say my dad because he's the one that was the more disciplinary in the house. If I had went to him and said, you know what, I'm moving out, but I still expect you to pay for my tuition, he would have laughed in my face and said, go ahead and try it, young lady. Let me just tell you, I should be suing you for everything that I've done for you for the last 18 years. You want to move out? You want to be an adult? I don't have to pay nothing for you. That's what he would have told me. So So I'm going to still say yes. She felt like she was entitled just because of, really? Come on. I would tell my girls the same way. If I tell my girls, okay, I will pay for your tuition as long as you're under my roof, and if you do keep your grades up and everything, fine, I will handle it. But as soon as you move out,
well, why do they
you
have to be under your roof, Joe? But why do they have to be under your roof? We have, I think as parents, we've adopted to this responsibility that somehow we control these beautiful.
No, it's not control. It's not control. When you feel like you are old enough that you can leave my house, then that means you're telling me you are ready for that responsibility to take care of all your bills. Why I need to give you a handout?
It's not a handout, but if they're working on their responsibility and they're going out there, say for instance, if they want to live on their own and they may have a roommate and maybe they're paying a couple $100, but they are experiencing freedom and they continue to stay in school. They're doing what they committed to do. I mean, to me, any other arrangement outside of keep your grades up, if you're going to help the child take care of their school, help them take care of their school. I mean, why you got to, I'm going to take care of your school, but you got to do this, like I say. To me, that's just such control.
I don't think that's control.
It's not control to me.
That's what our society is used to, though. The parents, don't speak. Don't be heard. Go in your room.
No. It has nothing to do with that. No, it has not. That is
the
problem. No.
Everybody has an end. Everybody has an end. I take care of my end by, you know, helping you out with tuition. Now you're going to take care of your end and handle your business.
Okay, right. So what if they move out and they're paying $200 or whatever they're with the roommate or whatever they're doing, but they are at least keeping up with their school. You're paying for the school. So why do you care if they have an apartment or whatever? Are you paying for the school?
I don't care. I don't care if that's what they want to do. I don't care if they want to move out and get their own place and have their job. Okay, they're telling me they are ready to handle all the responsibility. Go.
I don't have to give you any more of my money.
You're on your own.
Oh, my God. How about if they need the experience? What about, okay, for example, I stayed on campus for a few years, and, you know, there were a lot of my friends would get apartments the next sophomore year. They were getting apartments, but they were still in college, and they're, you know, if they had support or whatever, they helped them with their school or whatever they were doing, you know. I'm going to have to read this in the moment of in my little inspirational time. I'm going to have to read this, what I wrote about freedom, the power of freedom in our lives when we have the responsibility to raise another wonderful spirit being. We are so used to control. We make up rules when there's no need. It shouldn't even be. I mean, rules is what? You know, give people, when you give a person free choice, you accomplish way more than if not. Way more. And that same thing goes for kids. I'm giving an example.
Go ahead, sister.
Now, I just wanted to take time again to read what Vanessa typed in the chat room. She said, that's what I would say, LOL, spoiled brat. I will help if I want, not because you want me to.
I control my checkbook and
credit card. I might pay it, but at my discretion, for real.
Mm-hmm.
Free choice to keep my money.
But she's right. I mean, I still stand by what I say. If you're living with me, you're doing everything that you need to do, keeping your grades or whatever, and I'm not charging you for rent and board. You're an adult, okay? You turn 18. You're old enough to go out there and get everything, but I am not charging you for anything. All I'm asking you to do is keep your grades up. You can live your life. Do what you want to do. But if you want to go out there, get your apartment, get a job, you're telling me you are ready to handle all that financial responsibility. I'm free. I don't have to pay your tuition. I don't have to pay it. You want to go? Go. Make your way.
Okay. So they don't have an option if they want to go and get a roommate or something somewhere and it's still
what I'm saying is they can do that. But as soon as they walk out, I'm done. I don't have to support
exactly
you anymore. You're an adult.
So basically, in order for you to pay for your child's school, they have to stay up under your roof and under your under you. You know what I'm saying? Why?
No, they're not. I'm not having to stay under me. They have. If they are 18, legally they're adult. They can do whatever they want to do. That's up to them if that's what they want to do. But if they want me to help pay for school, then yes, they need to be living with me. Why am I going to pay for somebody that's not living with me?
Well, why not?
Why not?
Why are you
moved out.
School in the first place? What are you paying?
They moved out.
But no, what
they
are you
moved
paying?
Out. They
what is their sole purpose? What is their sole purpose for paying for their college? What is your reason? What is your reason behind that?
Still living with me, and they're saying, "Mommy, I need help paying for school."
No. I'm not talking about terms. What is your reason for paying for their college? I'm not talking about the terms of your agreement. What is your reason?
Are you saying they're not living with me at all?
I'm not talking about terms. I'm talking about the whole over. There's an umbrella, and then you place terms under it. You said I'm going to pay
the
college.
That's not a term.
No, are you paying the college just because you want to see them? You feel that them going to college is gonna fare them well, and you want, if you pay for it, it brings less stress on their process of going to college because you know how it is, but they have to pay. There's a reason that you have the idea and the passion to pay for your daughter, your son, or your child's college. There's a reason.
I don't really care if they go to college or not. If they make the choice that they want to go to college and they're saying, "Mommy, okay, this is what I want to do, but I still want to live with you," I'm not going to charge them rent and for food and everything because I'm like, okay, I will pay for your school.
And that's your choice, okay?
But if they decide,
if they've already moved out
and they're coming and asking me to pay for the tuition, I'm like, wait a minute, you should have thought about that before you went out there. Now, why do I say that? It's because that's a lesson I learned from my father. And so I'm passing it on because it's a good lesson that I learned from him. Was it harsh? Yes, but it was reality. He gave me a reality check. He told me
as soon as you turn
18.
Guess what reality is? Reality is independence. Reality is independence. Okay, here.
And he gave me my independence. He gave me my independence.
No, check this out. You go to the bank. You want help with your business. Now, we're not talking about college you passed on. Now you have a business. Forget that. How about you just go to any investor, whether it be whether it's a bank or an individual, a private investor, however it is, you go to this entity for support for your passion, your dream, and they tell you, okay, well, hey, you know, I'll give it to you, but you know what? In order for me to do this, I need you to stay right in this building right here. But what if I'm making more money and I decide I want to do this, that, and the third? So long as I agree to the terms and keep in good faith the arrangement that has been made based on our original agreement, why the hell do you care what I do, when I do, and how I do?
Okay.
Guess what?
First of all,
opportunity to teach them. First of all, you know,
hello.
You know what's bad?
Hi.
I have to say one more thing.
Hello.
I have to say one more thing.
Wait a minute.
You
somebody
know
what?
Don't have okay,
who's this? Somebody else
Vanessa.
Is on the line.
It's Vanessa.
Vanessa.
Hi.
I have to say this one thing before I leave. I have to say this one thing before I let them have it. What is really not so good, let me tell you what's damaging about the scenario that you've given. And I you know what? I love your father because you love your father. And it's cool. I understand it. But there are all different options. But let me tell you what that scenario does. That scenario says, okay, I'm going to pay for you. You don't require them to pay for rent. You don't require them to do anything. That's what I could reconsider, because at that point, what they should be, you're paying for their college, and that's fine. If they're going to school, going to work, or whatever, they can go to work. Maybe they need, I don't care if it's $20 a month. I don't care if it's $10 a month, but they have to be shown some sort of responsibility. A responsibility. When do you teach them responsibility? After you teach them responsibility after they've gone to college and did all this, that, and the other, you paid their way, and you know what I'm saying? You paid their way, okay? You if anything, that's the opportunity and period to teach them how to be responsible, how to, even if you're working a job, I'm telling you, I've worked when my very first, well, that wasn't my first job, but my first, I should say, job outside of co-op was McDonald's when it was the first official check. When I got that check, I'm going to tell you something. My grandmother, and I probably made, what, $80 every 2 weeks, something really minuscule. I mean, it was so little. Man, my grandmother was waiting for that money, and she didn't need it, okay? She had her money. She was straight, okay? But she was waiting for that little money based on the agreement that we had, and she taught me responsibility. Now, her payment that I had, the payment I had to make with her was not going to be as major as it was out the street. But I was going to have to pay something. And that's the teacher. But to say, okay, now they can't move out, they can't do this, they can't do that, maybe that's an opportunity to sit the child down and say, now, what is your plan, child? Not where they're caught up between a rock and a hard place. I got somebody that's going to help me with my dream, but I got to be under their thumb. I got to be their slave. I got to do this, do that, do that. Why can't it be a freer term? Something that's free. A lot of times, that could place somebody in a situation where it's too
okay,
much.
Okay, we need to bring Vanessa in. We have another caller online. Vanessa, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Hey, Vanessa.
Hi, y'all doing? This was one of those topics that I'm packing, but I had to call in because this is like freaking hilarious. So,
okay.
this is where I'm at because this is my life. Okay, daughter has a master's degree in finance. She has a bachelor's in accounting. My husband told my daughter when she was a young girl, this is why I'm calling in, and said, I'm not paying for your college education. I'm not going to be in debt killing myself instead of saving for my retirement for your education. But I, as your daddy, will dedicate all of my time to making sure that you get a scholarship. Now, y'all hear me. This is a black man. My husband and my daughter went to McDonald's and the library or Burger King and the library or wherever and the library every Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Every Saturday. My daughter got a full scholarship, $40,000, to Texas Southern University. Not one dime did she have to pay. Then when she got her master's, and she got ready to go, her job paid for 50%. That master's
wow.
is eating my child alive, okay? That 50% is. But you know what? This is what mama did. So I'm kind of like your daddy, but I'm kind of like Princess Odelia. What I did was, I'm going to toss between both of y'all. That's why I had to call in. So my husband said, I ain't going broke behind you. I ain't paying no student loans. I ain't paying none of that because I done sacrificed all of these years to make sure you're smart, you got good grades. Now we need to get you a scholarship, and that's what happened. On the Princess Odelia side of it is,
that's right. But
you
no,
need
I'm on
to
that
pay.
Side too now. Okay,
no,
I'm on that
but,
side.
But hold on. On that side where the bills came in at, I bought her a car because I got tired. She was in my little hoopty car. So I went and bought her a car. I maneuvered it. I got it for $10,000. I put down $5,000 cash, and I told her she had to pay the note.
Boom.
That's
you want a car?
That's
you
want
to get back and forward to work? You want to get to school? Mama going to put down half to make sure that note is
that's
low.
Right.
You
there
don't
you
pay
go.
It because children
right.
got to have some responsibilities. Ain't
that's
nothing
what
free.
I'm that's what
ain't
I'm
nobody.
Have responsibility.
Hold on now. Hold on. Ain't nobody.
Let's finish.
Ain't nobody passing out nothing. Now, she uh-huh. was under my roof while this was going on.
But did she have to be? Did she have to be?
No. She didn't have to be.
Let her finish.
Okay. Go ahead, take a breath, y'all. No, she did not have to be under my roof, and she was not under my roof. When my mom passed away, my daughter took over her apartment thing because it was under contract. So my daughter moved into my mother's apartment. Did I check to make sure that note was paid? Yeah, I did. She's still a kid. So, yeah, we made sure because my name was co-signed on that car. But, no, it was not a stipulation. When she got that master's, I pulled $7,000 out of my 401K and wrote a contract for a house that cost $135,000 across the street, and I got it for $100,000. That was my graduation present to her for saying job well done. No babies, master's degree, no alcohol, no drug abuse. But what happened? She's paying that note. Children got to have boundaries, and they got to have responsibility. Because you know what? They're going to turn out like some of these other children that's in my family, and I ain't going to say in case some people listening, in my family that their children are not doing what they're supposed to do because the mamas then gave it to them, handed it to them.
I ain't handing out nothing.
And I don't care if you live with me or you don't. Now, if you are a good child, there are some things that you deserve, not entitled to, but deserve.
It's a difference in being entitled.
It's a difference in being entitled and a difference in me and just you deserve it. So that's where I came in. I had to call in on this one, y'all, because this was what we did with my child. You can't make me pay for your college education. Because when you start making that six figures, we ain't going to see none of that money. So we're not going to get that debt either. Because when you start making $150,000, my daughter makes big money. She lives across the street from me in a 2,500 square foot four-bedroom house. I ain't seeing none of that money that she making. When I die or get old, start selling some of my rental properties. But I won't see her salary. So you know what? I'm not passing you nothing. You got to earn it. Because when you start passing it to them, guess what? They don't appreciate it.
They don't appreciate it.
I still drive that car. That's my little airport car, that car that I put the $5,000 on when she got ready to sell it. I said, you ain't selling that car. Well, Mama, it's my car. Well, no, I don't think so.
Whoa.
It says Vanessa Haynes on that car, and I put a $5,000 in my signature. No, you're not selling it. So what did she have to do? No, that's control right there. No, my name is on that bad boy. You're not selling it. That's my little pastime car. She drives a brand-new Camry. My husband signed for it. Guess what my husband told her? I'm going to sign for this spanking brand-new car, but you got 4 years to pay for it. You're not going to finance it for 5 and 6 years with my signature. So what did she have to do? She had to hump it, baby, and she had to make that note for 4 years, and it's loaded. So I ain't passing out nothing. You got to earn it with Vanessa.
And that's what with that the young girl in New York, that's what I feel. She felt like she was entitled to her parents' mind.
She did. She felt like she was entitled.
To do with their contract. She felt like she was entitled to that money just because
she
mommy
entitled
daddy
to
said,
nothing.
No.
My
she
husband
didn't
couldn't
it.
Stop laughing.
She didn't
pay for my education.
I ain't got to pay for your education. Yeah, of course she's not entitled to anything.
But the point is she felt like she was entitled. That's why she drug her parents to court. Other than that, she wouldn't have drugged them to court making them spend money on an attorney.
No.
She thought she deserved that. That's what's wrong with these children. You think that people owe you something. Don't nobody owe you nothing.
Nothing.
But guess what? It's no sense in taking the energy directed towards her because it could have been that her parents gave her that impression.
And they might have, but guess what? I don't think so, Dr. Francis, because when you go back and read, our children don't come here.
Our children come here, and here we are supposed to. We are their parents, and we've just talked about how the generations, how they lack in wisdom for generations.
But I do think that she's right.
Babies having babies. Listen, it doesn't matter. It's there too. Babies having babies. Grandmothers becoming younger. Everybody, you know, for generations, it's this cycle. Okay, so when you lack wisdom, you lack the understanding of how to even raise the child. So to say that the parent had nothing to do with what, you know, that the way the parent raised the child, that had nothing to do with their feeling of entitlement is
no, I didn't say that. I didn't say her parents are older. So
I was just
going like
to say her
them.
Parents were not young. Her parents
no,
were not
right.
young.
They were older.
It doesn't matter if
they were
young. They could be older. They could be 50, 60, 70. I said for generations.
But those parents had to have said something or did something in her childhood to make her feel like she was entitled to get that. The parents did do something to make her feel like that. I do agree with that. But you know what? There comes a time when it's time to nip it. And when she moved out and said, y'all pay for my education, I would have nipped it.
Yep.
I would have nipped it.
I just wanted.
Yep. risk system. What were you going to say?
I just want to comment. Now, I'm going to go ahead and explain about me.
No,
let me tell you. I still live at home with my parents.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you a little bit about my journey. When I went to college, they paid for my phone. They bought me groceries. Mm-hmm. I believe they paid that first rent when I, because I stayed in the dorm the first 3 years, and then I commuted from home.
Mm-hmm.
I worked.
Mm-hmm.
I worked part-time. I got financial aid.
Mm-hmm.
Took out a student loan.
Go ahead.
And I knew that, you know, when I took out that loan, that was my responsibility to pay back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't feel like they, you know, and they always told me with my living at home, they were, look, as long as you respect me, this is your home. And I thank God for that. As I went through college, they contributed, but I knew they couldn't afford, you know, my parents, they couldn't afford to pay for my whole college. That was my responsibility. It was my decision. I had to help contribute. I worked part-time. I got financial aid. I took out a student loan, and I didn't borrow. I only borrowed, thank God, $4,550, Jesus. See, I was even in control of that. I can afford to borrow no $100,000, $200,000. I can't even fathom that. I knew I didn't want to be in hawk all my life over no student loan. So I thought about all that. And in my journey, when I left college, I didn't, because I graduated in 93, didn't get my first 9-to-5 until 95. I mean, still lived at home because I just couldn't. I live in California, and that's not a cheap place to live.
But nobody handed it to you.
Right.
That
wasn't even a discussion primarily. That was the discussion, but what we had gotten, what I responded primarily to was, I'm going to pay your school, but you have to stay in my house. No, you said your father said that, and you said, you know. But, okay, so this is what I was going to say, Vanessa.
Mm-hmm.
You said that you did the car thing. And I agree with all scenarios. I think maybe it wasn't a car. It could have been an apartment. It could have been room and board that you decided to do something. But affording them the freedom of choice in conjunction with the gift, if you say you're going to pay for this school, you're going to pay for this school. I also offered a devil's advocate approach to this scenario. And yes, apparently there's a sense of entitlement, but also there's a possibility in this situation with the young lady that she took so true to their word that they said they were going to pay for it, and maybe they didn't make a strict term and tell her that in their contract, well, if you don't live with us, we're not going to do it, or if you're going to do whatever. I don't know. Maybe they had a contract, and the contract is on the table. I haven't read the case, heard the case to really comment too much on that. But I'm saying, hypothetically speaking, maybe there was a contract or a contractual agreement of this term. Who knows? And based on the contractual agreement, they went to court on it. Who knows?
But our parents tell us stuff all the time, and when we were kids, and didn't necessarily fall through. So if for you to say that, for them to say, well, I'm going to pay for your education, they probably did not want the child out partying or doing things or hanging with the wrong crowd.
Right.
She was doing something that those parents say. She might have been making bad grades and making C's and D's. Like, I'm not paying for your education. You're already making B's and C's. If you move out, you're going to start making D's. People don't have money for that. There was something that little girl was doing that the parents decided, I'm not paying for her education. If she was making straight A's, she was on the dean's list, and she moved in with another responsible person, I am sure her parents would have continued doing it. But I guarantee you, they nipped it because of the move she was fixing to make was not a good move.
Mm-hmm.
It was
all
a
I
reason
know
they
is,
nipped it.
All I know is I don't feel entitled.
No.
At all.
Me either.
Because my, you know, they could have did the good old kick me out at 18, you know. But I seriously believe because they see me trying to do, you know, the best job. See, if I was here just sitting on my butt playing Nintendo, you know, but because they see me, and please know, when I leave this house, and Lord, let me leave this house one day, please. When I leave this house, I am not about to ask them to continue to pay for me. Because
mm-hmm.
I probably mm-hmm. really shouldn't be here now, really. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Really uh-huh. now. But it's just the journey of my life, and I just thank
and
God.
And that's okay, because a lot of grown children go back home, and they said that
uh-huh.
a lot of that is happening. So that's not an issue here nor there because of the economy. So I understand
right.
it. But this is a young girl that can go and get financial aid, and now you can get work study. So she can be in
uh-huh.
school. She can get work study where she can get a paycheck. And if, like we did, we'd still paid some little minor things to my daughter, but when they was negotiating her scholarship, I told them, y'all need to make sure that y'all can pay this car insurance and that y'all can pay her some money to have in her pocket. And because her grades were so good, they negotiated all of that, and they did all of that for her to have that extra money. So if that child is doing what she is supposed to do, it wouldn't even be where the parents would have to pay for it. She could have gotten
yeah.
scholarships, a
right.
full ride. Because
mm-hmm.
it's not that poor children get full rides. A's get full rides.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
A's get the full ride.
And for the judge to throw it out, to dismiss the case altogether,
and he dismissed it as frivolous. He called
yeah.
it a
yeah.
frivolous lawsuit.
Yep. Because he sided with the parents. He's like, look, your parents aren't doing anything wrong. They're trying to protect you. They're trying to help you be responsible. And here you're not showing them appreciation. All you want is their money. How are you showing their appreciation just asking for, just begging for their money and say, oh, yo, you're supposed to give me this. You're supposed to give me that. Supposed to? I don't have to give you nothing. I brought you to this world. I'm going to raise you to be responsible. But as far as giving you anything, no, you got to earn it.
Yeah, you know, you're not owed anything.
Does the case say that? Does it say that she's saying that I have to have it, you have to have it? What is the core of the case? I mean, like, what is the body of this case? Like, what is written regarding what actually happened between this parent-child?
Okay. From what I've read and what I've heard on the news, they did have a verbal agreement. Her parents told her that as long as she kept her grades up, did what she was supposed to do, they would pay for her tuition. Well,
okay.
she decided to move out. Now, I don't know what happened after she moved out, but after she moved out, her parents are like, no, I'm not going to pay for your college tuition. You're out there doing whatever it is that you want to do, I don't have to pay for it because your grades, you're not keeping your grades up.
How
I don't
do you
know if you're doing that there.
I'm saying that's what
her parents are saying. That's what her parents are saying.
She wasn't keeping her grades up?
That she wasn't keeping her grades up, so they stopped paying her tuition. You moved out.
So really, primarily it was that she wasn't keeping her grades up more so. Because other than that, I mean, I just think that's just so controlling.
Honestly, Dr. Brinfield, if my child is doing everything they're supposed to do to keep their grades up, I will pay for a tuition. You go out there and start partying acting stupid, I'm not throwing my money away from you.
Everybody has an end.
Who's partying and acting stupid because we keep getting off topic? I'm talking about who said they were partying and acting stupid because they moved out of your house. Who said that?
No, I'm saying, no, Dr. Francis, I'm giving that scenario that if they move out and I'm asking, okay, so how's your grades doing? And, you know, I get a call from the dean or whoever saying, you know, your child, the grades are slipping, blah, blah, blah. And I go and ask my child, okay, so how's school doing? You know, how is school? And they go, oh, school's fine. I'm like, how's your grades? Oh, I'm getting straight A's. And I know they're lying. Okay.
But is that what happened in this case? Is that what happened in this case?
No, I'm just giving a scenario from my point of view.
No. But I'm talking about in reference to this case. That's what I'm saying. Everybody keeps talking about things that are completely irrelevant to this case. This case
That's not irrelevant.
She went to court.
Her parents said her grades were slipping. They stopped paying her tuition.
Okay, so maybe I could agree more so that they stopped paying her tuition because her grades stopped slipping
more so than they stopped paying her tuition because she moved out.
No, that her parents couldn't care less if she moved out. They wanted her to keep her grades up.
Yeah, it's about everybody has an end to keep up. Now,
right.
You keep up,
But ladies, all night we were having almost a debate because she moved out. Mom, too, you were adamant and passionate, I might add, to your viewpoint that if she moved out or if the child moved out, that was it. Payments off. But
no,
now...
You're out of my house. Right. Why am I still paying for you?
Right, all right. But see, now, see, you just said a few minutes ago that that's not such a big deal.
What she's saying is different parents have different stipulations as to why
right.
they're going to pay for something. She
mm-hmm.
said that her father's stipulation to their agreement was, as long as you're under my roof, I will maintain, I will help, I will assist. The other
mm-hmm.
people's agreement, we don't know what it was. It might have been, apparently it was keep your grades up. If your grades are up, we will continue to pay for your education. Nobody in their right mind is going to pay for it. And I'm pulling it up right now, the transcript of it. I've got it up now. Nobody.
Well, yeah, of course, if it was payment, the whole thing, the reason I was saying what I was saying, because our discussion was on the fact that that she left the house. And I kept saying, if she's taking care of her responsibilities with her school and she's doing well in school, who cares if she moved out? And everybody kept saying, no, well, she didn't move out. I'm like, okay, well.
And I do, because the dean is not going to call you. Once you become of age and you're in college, the dean no longer talks to parents about anything.
Right.
So
if she's doing well in school, like I said, if she's doing well in school, then who cares where she lives? That's what he or she lives. Who cares?
It's just that particular parent's deal. It's their
mm-hmm.
stipulation
exactly.
as to why and how they're going to spend their money. It's their money.
It's not control, right. I don't see
it's not control.
It's not control.
Well, to me, I gave my own opinion. I'm entitled.
Yeah.
You guys don't think
yeah.
it's control. But
I think
you guys probably don't think it's control because most of the society is used to control. So
no.
it's just the norm. I'm just saying, most of the society is very accustomed to control. That's how we roll. Okay? So yeah, of course you don't think it's control. But I'm saying who cares? Certain things that we really care about, we place stipulations on, are the least of these things. I keep hearing you guys say if they're doing what they're supposed to do, if they're getting the grade they're supposed to get, guess what? Some children, their journey doesn't entitle them. Or maybe that in their journey, they're not going to be the one that's going to be the straight A student. Maybe they're going to be the one that's going to be the C and D because in their journey, they've got to tell somebody how they made it when they were only C and D. You know, we have to really understand and offer ourselves the opportunity to appreciate the development of our children and even some try to understand better their cycle of development so that we don't have so many rules and things.
Oh,
that,
Lord.
You know, well, it's true. I'm
sorry, okay, Dr. Bruce, I didn't apologize. You just said, if you're making C or D's. Okay, if my child if my child who was a straight A student in high school gets to college and their grades drop to C and D's, I'm not going to be like, whoa, I'm not paying for your tuition because I know
college
is
harder. I wasn't talking about that. I never said that. I was talking about scenarios of education. Actually, I was referencing it. I was just giving a scenario. I didn't say that, oh, they were A students or whatever in high school and they did this. I'm saying when we talk about how a child is to be and if they are supposed to and if they did it right and if they did it wrong, you know, everybody has a different scenario at home. Children deal with circumstances and journeys differently, you know, as they go through things at different developmental stages in their life. So we place too much on, like, even when it comes to the grades. Some parents won't even listen to the child.
What?
No.
Yes. Some people won't even listen to the child.
Baby, if you know what
the child
is capable of.
What if one of your children
If you know what your child is capable of, if you know your child can only make C's and D's, then you're not going to try to push your child to make D's and A's because you know that's the only thing your child could do. Now, if you have a child and you know your child is capable of making A's and
well,
B's, and all of a sudden they are slipping and sliding, something's going on.
Well,
and you need to find out why. I do not think for 1 minute that we are putting too much pressure as far as grades go. If anything, we're not putting enough emphasis on what the school is doing as far as teaching our kids.
What if one of your children said, guess what, Mom? I'm going to be a senior this year, but I don't want to go to high school. Matter of fact, I'm not going. What would you do?
I don't want to go to high school. I don't want to go to college.
I don't want to, okay, senior in high school or whatever. They say, you know what? High school is not for me. I don't want to go.
Okay, you know what I'm going to say? Go take your GED.
What would you do?
Go take your GED.
That's fine. Let's work on getting your GED. You don't have to go to high school if you don't want to. Let's work on getting your GED.
And then go get a job.
Thank you.
But why can't, if their path is the one that encompasses college, why can't you encourage them? Well, what do you want to do after that? Because after they get the GED, hell, now they even have ability. You can go. My nephew did it. One of my best friends, her family, her children, I call my nieces and nephews. Her son, I did support him. He did drop out of school, but he was in music, right? And he was, man, he is bad already, the boy. He is something else. And he just could not do it. He said, I have to do it. He said, the only thing I eat, breathe, and sleep, music. He would get up 4 o'clock in the morning, do his work. And I know because when I was going through my homelessness, their house, I ended up being there. So I know what he used to do. He'd get up. He's writing music and doing the music, da-da-da-da. And then sometimes I would have the responsibility to drop him off to school. And there are a couple times, I have to admit, we turned around because he was going to an alternative school at this time. And I said, okay. He said, Auntie, please. He said, I can't be up here and I feel trapped. And he wasn't trying to be.
That's fine.
I'm just
that right there.
Wait, you know, because, telling him freedom. And you know what? Now he went to, I don't know the name of the school, but they have a few of them online that was attached to a great program. I have to find out. But he actually graduated now. Instead of the GED, he went for the high school diploma option. And he graduated with a 3.0, and he has the high school diploma option, and he said he's going to go to school for business. He's decided, but he talks about how he was able to afford to be free in that time. It was a couple of years. He did not go to high school, but he was extremely brilliant. That just wasn't his path. I'm saying I think it's important that we all, as parents, embrace the understanding that our children, we are responsible to guide them, not to control them. And, yes, hopefully we have wisdom so that we can be an influencer. We can influence our children with wisdom, inspire them to do great things with wisdom and not control, but allowing and affording them the opportunity to be free in their choices. Well, look, I'm going to pay for your college. You know what? Well, hey, if you want to move out, then understand that I'm paying for your college. But guess what? You're going to have your good grades. I'm not going to support it, you know, if you're doing this, that, or third. If you're goofing off, then, yeah, I mean, I can understand a parent saying, you know, I'm going to keep paying for you. That's putting money in the tank. I mean, you know, you got to have a real good reason, you know, so.
I still don't look at that as a control issue. I really don't be in control.
That is so
my father told me growing up, he goes, you know, whatever you decide to do, whether it be you go to college, whatever you decide, when you leave my home, you're telling me you're ready to take on whatever responsibility gets, whatever the world throws at you. You're telling me you don't need my support anymore financially. You're ready to go. So I'm letting you go.
Okay, did you have a responsibility to pay bills while you're there?
What, at home?
Yeah.
I was smart enough to know that I should give my parents something. They didn't have to ask me or tell me to help pay them or help pay bills. When I had my job, I gave them half my paycheck. They didn't come to me asking, okay, where's my money? I already knew, here's money for this, here's money for that. I already knew that. And that was the way he raised us.
Right. So he taught you responsibility. That's amazing. That's wonderful.
Without him having to come and say, this is what I'm expecting you to pay. You need to pay this, this, and that. He never had to come and tell me that. I just automatically knew, okay, here you go. You take this. No.
That's right. And that's understanding and discipline and just, actually, that's understanding and respect. So he taught you what respect was, and that's amazing. Because that is something that a lot of people, children, adults as well, lack. Respecting somebody, you know, and especially these children. The whole situation with this young lady, she has no respect for her parents.
No, she doesn't.
And that can come with us being doing everything for them and giving them no responsibility. We create children that have a sense of entitlement.
Again, what we call spoiled brats.
But they, you know, they have this sense of entitlement because why? You have given them no other option or choice. You have not shown them the repercussions of their choices. They don't know any of that. They know nothing, but you take care of everything. So darn it, you know, don't take care of me all these years for 19 years, and you want to flip when you've been doing it this way the whole time. What's wrong with you? So we can't even look at the child. We have to say, well, that's what she knows 9 times out of 10 is there is an action that the parents have been doing all of these years, and now they're tripping. Now they want to put their foot down. Well, dang on it, you put your foot down a little too late. They laid dollars short. You should have done that long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a family member going through that right now.
Wow.
Too late. Too late to put your foot on their throat. Too late. Too late.
You got to do that when they're growing up. You don't wait.
You got to do that when they're a child.
Yes.
Yeah, when they're growing up, you can't. Waiting until you get grown, and now you want to put your foot down. Man,
well,
I
called my daughter today and asked my daughter, I said, I'm over here by your job. My daughter's been on the same job since the 11th grade. She works at an oil company. And so I said, I'm over by your job. You want to come have lunch with Mommy? I said, name the place. And so she said, you're over there by the seafood place. Let's have some seafood. So I ordered all of my seafood and everything up, and the guy said, you haven't been here in a while. I said, I haven't been here in a long time. Well, I'm going to comp you a drink. It's on me, blah, 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 blah. And so he said, he gave me my total, and I said, well, what about her? And he said, well, I didn't know that you were paying for her. And so I said, yeah, that's my daughter. I'm going to pay for her. But my daughter was already going into her purse to pull her debit card. You know why I'm telling y'all that story? It's because she did not expect her mom to pay for it. And I said, no, I got her. Her hand was already in her purse. My daughter always tells people, I might be an only child, but I'm not a spoiled child. I'm not spoiled rotten.
Thank you.
Just because she's an only child don't mean that she's supposed to have everything or anything.
Right.
Because I wish you could teach some of these other parents that. The ones that have
trust me, I'm going to. Some of them you think.
Yeah, because parents today, they, like I said, they hand their kids everything.
Everything, especially with the only child. I'm talking with my friends, and then they wonder why they're having so many problems with their only child. It's because they're giving them everything. They're not teaching them anything as far as responsibility goes. And then they're complaining about it. It's like, well, look at the example you're setting. Look at what you're doing. Change something.
Yeah.
Yep. I absolutely agree. I'm not handing nothing. And you can, I mean, if it's control, it's control. If it's not, it's not. She turned out okay over here, so I'm like,
I didn't think your scenario was controlling.
Yeah,
I
try to make it mediocre.
I was referencing when you don't require your child to say anything, and you want to control and tell them where they're going to stay. You know, I'm gonna take care of your stuff, but this what you gonna do this as it pertains to the freedom of their life.
Well,
you know what I'm
saying? If I'm paying for your education and you ain't got nothing else to do but go to school, you most certainly gonna bring some good grades in. I'm gonna whack you off at the path, and I mean that. I mean so it might be control. That might be part of the agreement of control. But if I'm paying for it, I want some A's and some B's. I don't want no partying. I don't want any of that. And if you're going to do it, I bet not find out about it. Because when you're in college, that's just part of the college life and living on campus in the apartment or in the dorm. But I bet not find out about it on my dime.
Right. Wait a minute. Hold on. So now I'm about to get on you. Lord have
okay,
mercy.
Do you. Go ahead.
I was trying not to get on you. So you're saying I give you freedom, but you can't enjoy yourself.
No,
I
didn't.
That,
you
to go
to
that is not what I said.
I found out that you went to a party. If I bring you and I'm passing my classes, why do you care if I go stand on a stadium? You know, why do you care? Why? Why? Sense of control.
You want me to tell you why? That's not what I said.
That's not what she said. She's saying that if the child is the only responsibility they have is to get good grades, bring home A's and B's, then it's not that she doesn't care if the child is partying. She's talking about if the grades start slipping. That's what she's talking about. If the child is out there partying, getting drunk, getting wild every single night, and not bringing home good grades, she's not going to pay for it. That's what she said.
You just added all of that. Yeah. You added all that.
No, that's what I said. You didn't want to hear that part. That's what I'm saying. If you're
that's
out
what
there.
You're saying, but that's not what you said.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. The college life, most of the time in the dorm, there's partying, drinking, smoking dope, and everything else in the dorm.
But you said
been
you
there.
Better not do that. Am I right?
Did no, I didn't.
Not,
I said she better
no,
not find out about it.
That's
I better find out about it. And you know how I'm going to find out? Because your grades are going to slip. That's
right.
How I'm going to find out.
Okay, there's
okay,
no
okay.
way you can. There's no way you can maintain that kind of lifestyle and have
nope.
good grades at the same time.
Nope.
It don't work.
Nope.
It doesn't
so
work.
Much of,
nope.
That is such a fabrication.
That's not a fabrication.
Okay.
That
yes.
is not a fabrication.
When you start
yes.
writing those theses and you start writing those reports.
Yeah,
baby,
I understand that because you don't have much time, but you can still, you may not have much time, but you can find some time. It may not be as much. I mean, and you may go to one party or two.
I didn't have time. I can tell you right now.
Well,
I
didn't either.
No.
When I was doing my math, I didn't have any time. When I was doing my master's, anything. I mean, of course, that's all I did was ASAP and drink that whole process. I understand that. But at the same time, I'm saying, especially, and I was older, so I'm saying when you have these young kids, I know people who are in school for their doctorate, in school for the master's, whatever, and they do well in school, but occasionally they do have a good time and go out and
party. I didn't say nothing about occasional.
That's occasional. Somebody who does it all the time, Dr. Prince.
Mm-hmm.
All
it's
the time.
Show up in the grade.
But if she want to call it control on my dime, she can call it control because it's my money, it's my credit card, and it's me. And so if you can't do and play the game, then I can't play it either. Point blank, simple, that's how it is. But you know what?
That's
she must have liked the rule because she all right. But they can call it whatever they want to call it. They ain't got to worry about nobody was dialing the 911 number on me till my mama was beating me to death. So, you know, I put the fear in them at an early age. At an early age, I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not paying
exactly.
for it. I'm not doing it. So it can be control or not. I'm just saying. I'm not saying she said me. But it can be whatever it is. But it is at the parent's discretion what they will or will not pay for. Because when you turn 18, I don't owe you nothing.
Right.
Nothing do I owe you at 18.
Exactly. That's exactly what I've been telling my
children. So that
little
girl talking about
life.
You on the education, I don't owe you nothing. I don't care if you come home with straight A's and guess what, the dean calling me, telling me that you are an angel at the college.
That's
I
right.
don't
That's
care.
Right.
I don't owe you nothing.
That's
I don't
right.
owe you anything.
Keep it moving.
Keep
it
moving.
That's right.
what you're supposed to do.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right. I tell them all the time. They said, people, my ex-mother-in-law used to tell me, she said, you always say that when they get of age, that you would have no problem putting them out if they weren't handling their business. I said, oh, for sure, 100%. She says, you don't mean that. I said, I mean it more than you ever will know. Like, I'm serious. Like, for real. If they are doing, when I say doing, I don't care how you're doing it. I mean, how can I explain it? I gave my children, for example, a lot more freedom than I believe, well, from what I've heard, word on the street, than what people normally would do traditionally. And I believe in when they got of age, some of the choices they would make that would be shocked. Hey, it shocked me. I had to make a decision to, sometimes they may have gotten what they wanted just so that I can monitor the thing that I not necessarily cared for, but I chose to use it as an opportunity to educate them in that area, even though they were doing something that I would have rather they not would have done. But I know that even if I say I don't like it, they'll do it behind my back, you know. And then what? Then I have another situation on my hands, and I didn't want that. So I've done things as a parent, just not in the nature of choice, of control, but to teach them, even in those things that I would not have fared, I wouldn't have wanted them to do. And I think that a lot of times in parenting, we want to control the scenario as a whole, when in fact there's more opportunity and development, personal development, in the freedom choices rather than not offering
okay.
them freedom.
You can offer them freedom, but at the same time, you have to guide them and let them know, okay, if you go down this road, this is what's going to happen. If you take this route, this is what's going to happen.
Of course. That's what I'm saying. Of course you do that. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I don't consider that control.
The only thing I consider control this whole night is somebody saying, when you gave me the scenario of, fine, I'll pay for your college, but you have to live at home. That's the only thing that I'm trying
to figure out who said that, though.
Mom, too. That's what
I did not
saying.
Say I will pay for college, but you have to live at home. That's not what I said.
Okay, go back and listen to the show. The whole first half was your stance and passion to the fact that, yes, if you told your daughters you're going to pay for their school and they went out there, then you figured they know how to take care of themselves and they can pay for it.
That's right. That's right.
Exactly. So that's the same thing that she just said. That's the same thing.
I'm saying again, and I agree with Vanessa. It's my money. And if your child, if my child, my two girls, when they turn 18, if they're saying, Mommy, I'm ready to leave home, go leave home. I am not going to stop them. But they better not come back to me asking me to help them with their tuition or whatever it might be, because they've already told me they're grown enough to go handle whatever it is out there. I don't have to give them my money. Now, if they're still living at home and they want Mommy's help, then, yes, I will help pay for their tuition. But once they're gone, they're gone. I'm not giving them my money. I wish right now I would get on the phone and ask my father for a dime. He would laugh in my face and hang up the phone.
I don't know.
Because as soon as I left home, he already told me, he goes, once you leave home, do not ask me for a dime. You're on your own. You've already told me. You're an adult. You can handle it. Not once have I called my father for any kind of money, because I know he's going to laugh in my face and hang up the phone.
But that doesn't, I don't necessarily support that.
And see, even in my situation with still living here at home, they don't owe me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they would a blessing, and, you know, as long as you respect me, this is your home. But that's their decision. They could have decided otherwise. Even
right.
in this situation, they don't owe me.
So your parents wouldn't afford you the opportunity if something horrible happened and you needed them. You couldn't go to your parents?
Are you asking me?
Well, you already said what you can. I'm asking Rich sister. She said she agreed with the same thing. I want to ask her, just because you're living with them, yes, we know you live with your parents, and at your age, it's like, okay, you have this sense of responsibility. That first thing that comes up to you is, look, I need to take care of myself. I'm not here trying to pity pitch off my parents. We get that. But if you were in a type and it was really, really bad, do you also have the type of parents that you couldn't go to ask them to?
Woo! Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
Woo!
Hey,
what happened?
Hey,
is your resident map of the sky? I don't know. I'm telling you.
What's going on with
the switchboard? Very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrell right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make a deal with a doobie.
man. What's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the Jay Rao Show.
Don't try to call me out, Princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network. Network.
Why, you beady-eyed.
The upper room.
It's the Jay Rao Show coming up next on the TJRS.
No, Jay. We've got this. Come on, ladies. Let's show them what we're working with.
I think that I'm in love.
Hi, this is your fitness diva, Mom to Little Donna's, with your healthy lifestyle fitness tip for this week. Do you ever feel like you're going great with a diet, completely in control and on track, when you get hit by an uncontrollable craving for something that is on the so-called banned list? You do everything you can to control it, but somehow it still finds you, and eventually you give in. You say to yourself, well, I'll just have one bite. But come on, let's be real. Who can have just one chip or one piece of chocolate? Before you know it, you've either eaten the whole bag or the whole bar of chocolate. You see, a few extra calories turn into so many extra calories. And then that little cheat that you had soon becomes an all-out buffet with all kinds of food that you should not be eating. Food cravings can do some serious damage to your progress. So, let's give you some tips on how you can kill those food cravings. Number one, first of all, you have to smash the urge. If you continually resist the urge to give in to your cravings, you can end up binging all the time. Instead of trying to resist those cravings, try this. When you have the urge for something sweet, instead of grabbing a piece of chocolate, get some yogurt. Number two, purge your cupboard. Having bad food anywhere near you will only make things worse and make those cravings hit more often. So even before you start a diet, get rid of all the temptations by purging your cupboard. Number three, chew gum. Yes, you heard me. Chew gum. In between meals or when cravings begin to hit, just grab a stick of gum. Research has shown that people who chew gum between meals eat fewer snacks because you always have something in your mouth. Number four, eat regularly. If you're not eating at regular intervals during the day, then your cravings are going to come more often. The more you eat, the less cravings you will get. And finally, number five, go to the gym. Yeah, I know that's not the answer you wanted to hear, but check this out. When you're exercising, you are actually releasing endorphins that will counteract those feelings of hunger. So when you get those cravings, go for a walk, get some cardio in, and before you know it, you won't have those cravings anymore. So the next time you get the urge to pick up a cupcake or a donut or whatever it might be, remember these five easy tips to kill those cravings. And remember, sweat is fat crying. It's that time, everyone. Time to shake things up with the ladies of Ladies First Radio of the TJRS Radio Network, a life show for everyone. Is your resident, Matt for the South, Mom to Little Donna's, hanging with my two girls, Dr. Princess Odelia and Rich Sister. Everyone's heard the headlines of the New Jersey teen suing her parents for financial support. We want to know, are we raising a society of ungrateful brats? We have our fitness and health tip and our inspirational corner as well. So let's do this.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the moon. and I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy,
but every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstained ball gown stretching the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair,
and we'll never be royal.
Royal.
It's a one in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Ruler. My friends and I will crack the code. We count our dollars on the train to the party, and everyone who knows us knows
that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money,
but every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstained ball gowns trash in the hotel room. Driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair,
and we'll never be royal.
Royal.
It's a one in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Ruler.
Welcome to Ladies First Radio on the TJRS Radio Network.
Okay, I don't know what happened. Are you ladies still with me?
I'm still here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
Studio, I think the studio probably froze up again.
I'm here.
Okay. Okay.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Okay. And Dr. Prince Odilia, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I don't know what's going on with the board tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. They're probably having problems and couldn't control it. Stuff was going on, couldn't control it. But yeah, we may have to just hang up and end this show tonight.
Right, because it is there 9:30, so we're very quickly.
But ladies, it has been wonderful. I'm getting ready for work tomorrow. This has been a great discussion, but
thank
I had
you
to call
so
in.
Thank you, Vanessa, for calling in. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Have a good night.
So
be safe this weekend.
Good night,
Vanessa.
Good
night.
Good night.
Okay.
Good night.
Real quickly, Richard, what would you like to close us out with?
Well, this is a great show tonight, and just we got to learn that it's a two-way street here. It's as long as everybody keeping up their end of the deal,
right?
And that's just the bottom line, and you can work together.
Okay. All right. And Dr. Princess Odilia, what would you like to close us out with?
I'm just going to say this. At the end of the day, it's important for all of us to understand that we are presented an opportunity to create wonderful children. It is our responsibility to guide them, not our obligation to control them. It is also our responsibility to teach them the understanding of do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Thus, there's no room for entitlement. There's no room for selfishness and disrespect. At the end of the day, the scenario we talked about tonight, its catalyst was disrespect. and that disrespect led into such a case as this. But that disrespect also could have been as a result of the lack of understanding and wisdom that the child's parents had. So it's important for us to just seek the inner wisdom when it comes to the development of our children, and everything will go okay. Take one day at a time. Don't worry about controlling, but focus on love, respect, and freedom, and you'll go a long way.
All right. And very quickly, I would just like to say again, thank you for all those that stuck with us tonight in the chat room and our callers. Thank you for calling in. And go along the lines of your sister and Dr. Prince Nadia, we want to raise our kids. We want to guide them, to help them make right decisions and not raise them so they feel like they are entitled to whatever it is they feel they're entitled to. Because if we raise them that way, then guess what? When they ask for something, they're going to be expecting it. So we don't want to raise a society of little monsters, because that's what's going on. You might want to start rethinking that. So on that note, we want to say good night to everyone. Rich sister, Dr. Prince Rodelia, this was a wonderful show. Love you, ladies.
Yeah.
Love you. Love you too. Love you,
y'all. Have a wonderful weekend. Love you, Jay.
Too.
Mr. Elias.
Yes, Miss Elias. Love you. Love you both.
All right.
Take
good
care.
Night.
Good night.
But we kind of halfway love Jay, though. The
thing
is, you know, he is so complicated.
There you go, picking on him again. Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night, guys. Love you.
Love y'all too. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Bye.